المصطفى محمد.
وعليه الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين، سيما بقية الله العظم، بقية الله خير لكم إن كنتم مؤمنين، ولعنة الدائم على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في موقعه الكتاب المجيد: بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، ولله الأسماء الحسنى فادعوا بها. صدق الله العلي العظيم. صلاة على محمد وآل محمد. Our condolences upon the beginning of the month of Muharram to the Imam of our time, to our elders, to our Maraji, to all Mu'mineen and Mu'minat. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept your salutations, your ziyarat, your attendance in the majalis of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam. As today is our first session, just wanted to point out a few important points and the theme that we will be discussing. Prior to that, just wanted to encourage our youngsters to a few questions that came to my mind. First of all, we really need to know that why we are here. What's our purpose? Is it we are here just because it's one of the rituals, one of the things that our parents have brought us here, that's why we are here, our parents used to come here, and because it has been a habit that whenever Muharram comes, we gotta wear black clothes, we gotta go to the Majlis of Imam Hussein, we have to recite Marsiya, Noha, Matam, and cry for Imam Hussein. Is that that? So if we kinda really ask these questions, then we'll be able to benefit in a greater deal in regards to the azadari, in regards to the discussions that we will have. The purpose, what is the purpose behind these azadari, these majalis, these sessions that I'm attending? What is really I want to achieve from it? And where do I like to see myself in the future by attending these majalis of Imam Hussein alayhi salam? So these are the questions that we really need to ask ourselves before we start any sort of discussion tonight. Once we have that, then we'll be able to extract maybe the topic that we might be discussing. You're not really moved with the topic, but when you have these questions in your mind, you will be focusing to get the benefit out of whatever maybe the topic is not of your interest, because you are pushed or you are encouraged towards the achievement of sawab. Somehow you're making yourself here it shouldn't be just for the sake of sawab. Sawab is there, but at the same time, when you have these questions, then you'll be able to extract the answers within the discussions that we will be having. So it's quite important really look into that, and where do I see myself after these 10 sessions or 11 sessions that we'll have. And inshallah, eventually we'll be having a method that I'll probably on a 6th or 7th night, which we'll do, which will benefit us eventually, inshallah. I'll mention that later on. If you help me with a loud salawat, then we'll begin our discussion, inshallah. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ajil farajhum. The topic that we have chosen is the phenomena of brotherhood in the epic of Karbala. In order to get into the discussion of ukhuwat, which is brotherhood, there's a premise required to why do I choose this topic and why it is very important, how it is relevant to us, and what does this topic really mean. If you look at the title of the topic, phenomena, and then you have brotherhood and you have Karbala, there are three things, three realities here. One is a reality that's a reality in itself, as in phenomena, which doesn't have any borders to it, you know, as a padide, as a haqiqat, as a truth, you know, a phenomena which is a reality. And there are different types of phenomena. But phenomena itself as a concept, it's one thing, it's a reality, it's truth. So there are different types of truth. You know, a truth is manifested in brotherhood, a truth is manifested in the love of the mother to the, you know, to the children, the truth is manifested in the sacrifice of, you know, of a soldier in the battlefield. So it's a phenomena, it's a truth. So you have that reality and the truth. And this manifests, the truth manifests in different forms. And one of them is brotherhood, is ukhuwat. And even this brotherhood itself is an immaterial reality that comes from this truth onto the, you know, sort of like mediocre or the medium level. You know, if we imagine, you know, the phenomena as, you know, as an outer circle, then you have the inner circle, which is a brotherhood, which has some sort of form to it, this phenomena, this truth. And then from there it manifests into that time and space, which is Karbala. So therefore it's on three different levels here. So now, why are we really investigating this concept of brotherhood in Karbala? Just as a synopsis of, you know, our future discussion. See, the success of Karbala, no doubt, sits in the very heart of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam. But at the same time, you have the phenomena or the truth of brotherhood within the ashab of Imam Husayn alayhi salam that made that Karbala successful. That is why you find Abu Abdullah Husayn alayhi salam saying that the ashab, the companions that I have, none of my brother, or my father, or any of, you know, my elders had. So that means there was something unique about the companions of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn. And this unique reality is manifested into the aspect of brotherhood. So, not leaving the sisters aside, obviously brotherhood, which also includes sisterhood there. So it's one of those things, you know. So you have, you know, the brotherhood, at the same time you have the sisterhood, you know, go hand in hand. So I'll be using the term brotherhood, you know, which is reflected in the sisterhood as well from now on. So, you know, I don't have to really every time, you know, explain. That will take away the flow of our discussion. So it's this brotherhood that sits in the heart of the ashab of Imam Husayn alayhi salam that made this story of Karbala a success. Now, each and every one of the ashab had this unique reality within themselves, but the Imam, he crystallized this unique reality which they had. Just as how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took the Prophet in one Asra bi Abdihi Layl min al Masjid al Haram ila al Masjid al Aqsa, right? In that one night, it was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who took the Prophet from Makkah to Masjid al Aqsa, and from there to, you know, Faqana qaba qawsayn aw adna, right? So it was the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it was the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it was the wish of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that made this whole journey possible, you know, in no time. So the same thing applies here in Karbala as well. You know, there was this unique aspects, these unique ingredient of brotherhood that existed within each and every one of the Ashab of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. And the Imam crystallized that. Imam sort of composed it. You know, there's a fusion which the Imam did to make this brotherhood so strong that even till today we have that, you know, that waves of that brotherhood. And we revive ourselves through that spirit, through the sacrifices of the Ashab of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. So basically that's what we are trying to look at here. So you have that phenomena, and you have that brotherhood, and you have that Karbala. So now this is the descent from the divine reality. Phenomena, brotherhood, time and space, Karbala. Now we have to have the ascent, which means from this time and space, which is Karbala, which is the manifestation in reality of that phenomena, not this particular phenomena, there's many other phenomena that is reflected in the plane of Karbala. So we have to take this from the plane of Karbala, ascent. We have to go back towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is also becomes the purpose and goal of our majalis of Abu Abdul al-Hussein. It's ibadat. You know, it gives us the opportunity to connect to God with a deeper thinking, with a greater ma'rifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, through what we see in the epic of Karbala, what we see in Karbala, through that, you know, that's the ascent there once again. So for our ascent to take place, the same thing applies. We really have to look at the complexity of Karbala itself and how it unfolded, and then after that take it on a, you know, on a higher plane, you know, where we reflect upon, where we kind of look into the deeper meaning of what this brotherhood is all about and what does this really mean. Just a quick example here, because recently we had Eid-e-Ghadir. You know, on the Eid-e-Ghadir they recite a siga, a pronouncement of sisterhood or brotherhood. Although, for example, they might not be blood brothers, but it's mustahab to recite that I take, you know, Jafar as my brother, by reciting that pronouncement, which is in Mafati, the dua book. And in that, if you read the translation of it, it's amazing. You know, I will not enter paradise, I will stand at the door of Jannah till you come and join me. It's not a joke. And it's not easy to really, you know, it's not just a lip service. You know, oh yeah, you are my brother, I'm your brother, and let's recite the siqa. No, it's really deep. So am I really gonna trust Jafar and I will make him my brother, and whatsoever good I do, he will benefit from it. Whatsoever bad I do, he's gonna suffer it as well, and vice versa. So it is that deep. So am I willing to really take that step of that bound? So now what I'm trying to point out here is that in the plane of Karbala we see that sort of chemistry, and the success of Karbala is that. So if any organization, any community want to have that success, must have this element of trust and that brotherhood, which we lack unfortunately. So therefore, now going back onto, you know, the discussion of, you know, phenomena, brotherhood, and the plane of Karbala once again. Help me with the salawat now. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. We don't have much time, however, we will elaborate a bit more, inshallah, tomorrow. The discussions are, you know, this is the only time that we could discuss, you know, things that are related to ma'rifat, you know, to spirituality. They might be a bit deep, But alhamdulillah, the group is, you know, I could feel that they are quite capable of taking it, and we could still provide the space and time to really get to the bottom of it, you know, if time permits to us, you know, in the future, to really discuss. And these are the nights that we really need to have to do these things, discuss these important issues. Otherwise, you know, then we haven't really paid the due towards the majalis of Aba Abdullah al-Hussein. So it might be a bit sangeen, it might be a bit heavy to begin with, but inshallah eventually when we come to the materiality of it, meaning that when we come to that concept of brotherhood, then things will become easier. But it requires a premise to have a good understanding of it. So please be with me, inshallah. Salat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. On the other hand, we are also the followers of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, and they say that, you know, there are certain traditions, hadith of the Masumeen, that even the Malak Muqarrab cannot understand and comprehend. So we are followers of such Imams. So if we don't really try hard to understand the deeper reality of things, you know, we have really wasted ourselves in a way. So we really need to, you know, prepare ourselves, and inshallah, with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, everything comes from God. Al-ilmu nurun, you know, knowledge is considered as nur, yakhzifu fi qalbi man yasha, and Allah places that knowledge. So it's really Allah who have to open our heart. It's really Allah who have to open our mind to understand this divine concept and this divine reality. This, the verse which I recited says, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى. It's in Surah Araf, verse number 180. We don't have time to really discuss in detail of this verse. Aghay Jawadi Amali, in his tafsir of Naseem, there are about 11 lectures on this verse only in Surah Araf he has done. Very detailed, extensively he has discussed. Allama Tabatabai in Risale Wilaya and also in Mizan ul Hikmah have discussed this verse, brought this verse and discussed it, we know, in the light of some of the traditions. But just to have provide that lip service, so to speak, as a premise to really have a deeper understanding of what's going on, so that we also benefit from it. See, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى. You know, we are not getting into shan and nuzul, why this verse of reveal, so on and so forth, into detail, but just get into the meaning of the verse and what it's trying to point out to, the deeper meaning. Well, lillah means that there is no other. Lillahi al-asma'ul husna. That's why in our day-to-day speech as well, we tend to say lillah, you know, nothing but lillah, you know, so to speak. So that means, you know, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى. That means there is nothing but the Asma'i Husna existing. On that deeper level, I haven't really got into the Husna Qubi Aqli, or, you know, Husna Qubi Aqli, which means that there's a thing which is called intellectual good and intellectual evil. You know, is there such thing and call that philosophy at all? You know, we don't have time to really get into that. But just to have a comprehensive understanding of what we really want to discuss, so that, you know, these hadiths and traditions in regards to brotherhood, when we are discussing, we kind of have that deeper understanding of it. For lillahi al-asma means there is nothing existing but the asma ilahi. For example, there are many verses which support this. Wa huwa maakum aina ma kuntum, for example. Or aina ma tuwallu fasamma wajhullah. Wherever you turn, there's a face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wherever you are, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with you. وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى means there's nothing but the asma is existing. So what we, for an arif, for a waliullah, for that, you know, that perfect man, what he visualizes, what he sees is nothing but those play of those divine names. That's why you find Amirul Mu'mineen saying that, you know, I saw before seeing Allah, after with everything I have seen Allah. مَا رَأَيْتُ شَيْئًا إِلَّا قَبْلَهُ وَمَاهُ وَفِيهِ وَبَعْدَهُ, you know, Allah. So that means that a person is on that level where he is seeing nothing but Wajhullah. And he himself is annihilated in that. It's not like he's seeing that and he's somewhere else. No. He himself is part and parcel of this divine reality, of this Lillahi Asmaul Husna. And as a matter of fact, he might be of a much more greater intensity compared to what he's seeing. For example, a person's name is, you know, Ghafoor. It's just ism. That's just the name. You know, that's a reflection of that sort of divine reality, which is, for Ghafoor means, you know, of forgiving, you know, which is the name of Allah. But that is only reflected in the names, just the name format and the Zahiri level. But with his crystallization, with his purification, you know, he himself will eventually reflect that reality, which is Ghafoor. So now, to begin with, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى, there's nothing but that, that's the divine, that's the reality existing, and nothing exists. And that is why we kind of understand, for example, where Hazrat Zainab salamullah alayha says that, I saw nothing but beauty in the plain of Karbala. So killing of, you know, her own brother in that fashion was beautiful to her, because it's Jamal. But it really depends on, you know, how he's analyzing, visualizing the shuhud. You know, there are different levels of it. So you have this Lillahi al-Asma'ul Husna. So now there's nothing existing but that. So now we have to look into here the locus, the vessels of these asma. It could be generosity, it could be love, it could be friendship, you know, in different formats. It just reflects here. And brotherhood is one of that. It could be a marriage, a communion of maybe two names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Love and friendship, wali, for example. You know, in that reality, in that phenomena of brotherhood that is reflected. So when we are looking at the issue of brotherhood, so it's that deep. When I respect a brother, as it says that, respect your brother, that means I'm really respecting those divine realities. So when I'm in my dealing, you know, the whole idea, the whole, you know, concept changes. You know, when I meet a sister, when I meet a brother, it becomes completely divine. On that superficial level, to begin with, you know, it's hadith, that's how I should treat my brother, that is there. But if I approach this on a holistic level, on that level, obviously it completely changes. So this is where we want to head towards. And this will change our attitude, our behavior with things, with realities, with every little thing that we are doing. You know, as a matter of fact, this is one of those first steps towards having a deeper understanding of reality. And Allama Tabatabai, in the Risale Vilaya, discusses this in that very first chapter. You know, where he talks about there's an outward form, there's an inward form, you know, to things, to reality. So basically, when it comes to discussing this phenomena of brotherhood, that's where it starts in reality, in truth. And when it starts there, then only, you know, a companion of Abdul al-Husayn alayhi salam will have that sort of understanding of this concept and will do what they have done. Tonight being the night of one of the first shaheed of this epic, of this saga of Karbala, which is Muslim ibn Aqil. May the blessings and peace be upon him. The names, the events, the eulogies, the speeches and the statements, discussions that have taken place by the Ashab to the Yazidis and their responses, each and every one which have been recorded so far, thank you, requires a great deal of contemplation. Our deen, our mazhab, our maktab, our school is a school of contemplation, is a school of pondering. You know, we really need to contemplate, I mean, how much the Quran have asked us to do. Not only contemplation in regards to the ayat of the Quran, I mean, what is Karbala? Karbala is nothing but ayat-i khuda. It's nothing but the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reflected there. So the same way a person contemplates upon these zahiri verses, for example, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَعُ الْحُسْنَى or إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ or look at the camel, how I have created, contemplate upon it. It requires the same amount of contemplation and pondering upon the event of Karbala, which is purely and purely one of the greatest ayats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The behavior, the speech, the poetry of the ashab, of the imam, of the family members, and the response of the Yazidi forces, or you know, those who were the enemies of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam. And even the responses of that have a very deeper meaning. Not just these Imam Hussein alayhi salam and the Ashab, even them, how they were and what they were and why they responded in that fashion, what was there. I mean, it's amazing if one really look at it. For instance, it becomes just like, you know, if you look at the, you know, I don't really have time, I just want to get into the Masaib as well. You know, look at this Musa, the story of Musa alayhi salam. You have Musa, three personalities. You have Musa, you have Khizr, and you have Pharaoh. And they're all human beings. And reflection of three different realities. One reality is a reflection of that Khalifatullah, which is Musa, who have the reign of Zahir as a human being, where he could reach, and the potential of the fall of a human being reflected in Fir'aun. That's how much an insan can fall. And the reign of the Batin with Hazrat Khizr alayhi salam, the hukumat of the inner realities, where you have the story of Musa and Khizr. So the same applies in every instance. Any prophet you take, and in Karbala as well. So Imam Hussein and the Ashab is the potential of perfection that an insan could reach. That's how high he could get. And the fall of a human being is reflected in Umar Asad, in Ibn Ziyad, in Shimr and these lot. And their responses. And at the same time you have many thousands in between, the mediocres, what we find in Kufans. 10,000, 4,000 some report says, came with Muslim ibn Aqil outside the castle of Ibn Ziyad, 4,000 together, they besieged, they surrounded the castle of Ibn Ziyad. He's inside, Muslim ibn Aqil, 4,000 of them. That's not a joke, 4,000. And how they left Muslim alone, from 4,000 to none. They invited Imam Hussein, and here Ibn Ziyad disguised himself with a black turban, enters Kufa on the orders of Yazid. He was the governor of Basra. He places his brother there, appoints his brother there, and Bashir ibn Nu'man, Nu'man ibn Bashir apparently was the governor of Kufa. And Yazid says, go to Kufa, take the reign of, be the governor of Kufa, because there was, you know, reports that people have written letter to Abu Abdullah al-Hussein and Imam Hussein gonna come to Kufa. And their situation was quite grave for Yazid. So here he enters Kufa with the niqab, you know, disguising himself as Imam Hussein. And the whole town, thousands came, welcoming the son of, you know, the Prophet. We are with you, we will support you, so on and so forth. Even Nu'man ibn Bashir, who was the governor, he locked himself in his chamber, in his castle. And he said from outside, from the roof, saying that, Hussein, you go back, you know, I'm not going to give this in to you. Even he was disguised. And finally, he hears the voice of Ibn Ziyad and he recognizes that it's Ibn Ziyad and he allowed him to come inside. Some report says that he unveiled himself and people were shocked. And then he gave a sermon, delivered a sermon saying that your property, your women and children will not be spared if you support Muslim ibn Aqil. This is the human element that exists within those who are cowards, who betrayed. You know, a blown out support to Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. You know, you are the Imam, we are with you, and you know, the emotionality and the passion. But at the same time, when that time comes, when that hour comes, when, you know, Ibn Ziyad flexes his muscle, they are gone. They betrayed. They left Muslim ibn Aqil alone at the door of that old lady, Tawa, apparently her name was. And then this lady, she inquires that, who are you and what are you doing this part of the town, and apparently it's not safe, why don't you go back? He says that, you know, I have nowhere to go. He was so confused when he came out of the mosque of Kufa that he looked left and right. You know, he was a stranger, complete stranger. And finally inquires for some water and seeks permission that if you allow me tonight to stay with you. Then she inquires the details of Hazrat Muslim, and then he replies, I'm Muslim, you know, brother-in-law of Imam Hussein and son of Aqil. Then she was the follower of Imam Hussein and she accepted and she was happy. She was moved and invited Muslim ibn Aqil into the house. And here, when his son comes back at night and felt that there is some guest in the house, inquires, and she gave a qasam. She asked his son to make a promise that he will not inform Ibn Ziyad. Muslim ibn Aqil is our guest tonight. Next morning, he went and he informs Ash'as. And then Ash'as eventually goes and informs Ibn Ziyad. They say there were about 300 soldiers were sent by Ibn Ziyad. One thing is for sure, when we look at the Bani Hashim and the chivalry and the courage and the strength and the mental capacity which they had was extraordinary. I mean, there's no doubt about it. And this is not like fairy tales or a story, but this was a reality, and it existed, and the possibility do exist. I mean, if we are discussing history today, we say that, yeah, that possibility exists, that this, you know, they had a unique sense of intellectuality, you know, eloquency, chivalry, you know, it wasn't seen in any other. The beauty which they had. So 300 men came to arrest Muslim ibn Aqil. He fought furiously. He pushed them out of the house of Tawa. He unscrewed the door and used it as a shield. And Ash'as, Muhammad ibn Ash'as, asked to Ibn Ziyad to send more men. And Ibn Ziyad replied that, you know, you are not being able to defeat one person. Imagine how you would defeat the Imam, you know, the elders of the clan. Ash'as replied saying that, you know, I'm fighting the sword of the Prophet, the line of God. That's what whom I'm, you know, in front of right now. So more men were sent, and once again you have the aspect of cheating. You know, where they started throwing, you know, torches of flame upon Muslim ibn Aqil. They started throwing stones upon Muslim ibn Aqil. And in order to protect the honor of the house in which he was a guest, he came out of the house and he fought in that alley. And they digged a ditch and he was finally caught. And once he was caught, report says that instead of taking him in a regular fashion, they dragged him on the ground to the castle of Ibn Ziyad. And once he entered, the soldier says, give salutations and salam to the Amirul Mumineen. And Muslim Ibn Qahil says, he's not Amirul Mumineen. My Agha, my Mawla is Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. The Amirul Mumineen is Imam Hussein alayhi salam for Muslim Ibn Aqil indeed. And Muslim ibn Aqil requests three things from Ibn Ziyad. One is that he had some debt that should be paid by selling his sword and his gear that he had, or the gown that he had, the shirt that he had. The second was that he be given a Muslim funeral. You know, that is the right of any Muslim. But indeed, what we see and how the Muslims, they regarded themselves as Muslims, right? The Yazid and the Yazidi forces. In what fashion what sort of disrespect they had done to the bodies of the Shuhada, of the family of the Prophet. The second thing, he asked for a Muslim funeral. The third thing, he said, I have written to Abu Abdullah al-Hussein that Kufans are waiting for you. But I never realized that they will betray Imam Hussein alayhi salam. They have invited the Mawla and they have betrayed. And I want someone to inform Imam Hussein that Kufa is not the place for him to enter. Ibn Ziyad agreed for first two wishes of Muslim ibn Aqil, but the last one he said, I will not. However, he did not even fulfill, I don't know about the first one, he don't even fulfill the last two. You know, the second one of a Muslim funeral. They say that even after the Shahadat of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, Muslim body was still hanging in the Darul Imara of Kufa, in the arch of Kufa. Muslim was taken to the roof of the castle. And here it says that he turned towards Makkah as Imam Hussein was coming from Makkah, and he gave Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. He gives his last salutation to the Mawla. And here Zainab looks at Aba Abdullah al-Hussein, because Imam Hussein replied, Wa alaykum assalam. And here Zainab inquires that, who are you replying? And he says, call the daughters of Muslim. When the daughters of Muslim were called, and here the daughters of Muslim sat next to Aba Abdullah al-Hussein, next to the Ammu, next. And here he stroke on the head of the daughters of Hazrat Muslim alayhi salam. And here the daughters started to inquire that, why are you behaving in such kindness, in such fashion? You are behaving in such a fashion that how a person will behave with the orphans. Have we become orphans? Here Aba Abdullah al-Hussein says that my daughters are your sisters, my children are your brothers, which is a phrase which is used when usually speaking to orphans. And here Sukaina comes and embraces the children of Muslim. But at the same time, let me remind you, when Aba Abdullah al-Hussein was about to leave on the day of Ashura, here Sukaina comes to Aba Abdullah and asks that, O father, will you show your kindness in the same fashion as you had shown your kindness to the daughters of Muslim? Because I will not be seeing that kindness of an orphan after your shahada, after your martyrdom.
And here Abdullah Hussein stroked the hand over Sukaina, picks up Sukaina, and it's been mentioned that she used to sleep on the chest of Imam Hussein. And she slept, she dozed off for a little while. The little Sukaina wakes up and she says that, "I will no longer stop you, O father." And here father inquires that, "Sukaina, for a little while ago you were not allowing me. What have happened?" Here she says that, "I saw the Prophet in the dream. I says, do not stop Hussein. The death is inevitable for Hussein."
Allah la'natullah ala qawm al-zalimeen sayalimu al-ladheena zalimu ayyaman qalibin yanqalibun. Allahumma kulla waliyaka al-hujjat ibn al-hasan salawatuka alayhi wa ala abaih fi hadhihi sa'ati wa fi kulli sa'a waliyan wa hafidhan wa qa'idan wa nasira wa dalilan wa aina hatta tuskinahu ardaka tawa wa tumatihu fiha tawila bi maulana sahib al-zaman ya Allah, 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 ya Rahman, ya Rahim, ya Muqallib al-Qulub, tabbit qulubana ala dinik, ya Qadi al-Hajat, ya Kafi al-Muhimmat, innaka ala kulli shayin qadir. Ya Allah, may Allah, bi haqq Imam Hussein, accept this little ibadat of ours, forgive all of our sins and the sins of our marhumin. Give shifa'i kamil to jumla mu'mineen and mu'minat, especially those who have requested us for prayers, especially Mariz Murid Nazar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala haze the zuhur of our 12th Imam. Include us as the faithful companions of the 12th Imam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect the azadari of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, the zawwar of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, who are going there for the ziyarat of Imam Hussein alayhi salam this year. All over the place, in Pakistan, in Iraq, in Iran, everywhere, wherever there is the Majlis of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, let the honor and dignity and the people, the mu'mineen and mu'minat who are attending, let all these be protected, their prayers be answered, their ziyarat be accepted. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect the lovers of Ahlul Bayt, the Shiayan of Amirul Mu'mineen, no matter where.